Welcome back to another great, fantastic, and dare I say, special episode of the Nerdcast. It's episode 119.
Greetings, my friend. This is the brain of TV's Pinky in the Brain. You are listening to the Nerdcast, but what you're really listening to are subliminal messages saying, I will obey brain. I will obey brain. I will obey brain. I will obey brain. Yes!
Yeah, I think they could probably definitely hear the eye roll. Definitely my eye roll. I don't know about Tyler's, but I was doing my eye roll as loud as it could go.
Meh.
Well, exciting start there. I tried to set it up for some drama right out the gates, but Aaron didn't even unmute and Tyler went with the meh, so nothing happened there.
I mean, I thought it was really lame. Did you just want me to repeat what they said? You're lame?
No.
What am I, chopped liver? Something definitely happened there. Come on, man.
Adam, you're not...
I'm right here.
God. You're not kicking up controversy. So it's 119. Adam, Aaron, Tyler, myself, Iggy, all here for another episode of the Nerdcast. And another geek-filled week. I was trying to look at some geeky fun stuff that was happening before we started recording, and it just feels like it's just full steam ahead right now. I mean, already this week we're recording on Tuesday and we're talking about award nominations. Well, we had new trailers this weekend. We've got new pictures of Rita Repulsa. We've got new pictures of since our last recording of Ghost in the Shell. Everything exciting happening. Plenty of new comics out as well as another one of our own comics off to the printer. So geek filled. Everybody jump in all at once here.
You didn't really give space for jumping in. You just kind of listed off all of the things. We can't. We'd have to go back to talk about those things now. So I figured that's where you're going to go next. First, let's start with blah, because that's usually what you do.
You're really not a very good moderator. I don't.
Speaking of, I need to email you. We've got an email for list of moderating at Planet Comic Con in Kansas City. Yeah, that's our next convention.
Let's talk about that. That's going to be fantastic.
So what? A month out? But I mean, I feel like until then, I don't even have a free weekend because we have here, at least in my area, Anime Southwest coming up here at the end of April. Then there's Free Comic Book Day, which will be over at Hall of Justice Comics in Parker, just south of Denver. And then the following weekend is Cheyenne Comic Con up in Wyoming. And then after that is Planet Comic Con. So, and I believe last week we established Adam has to attend all of those, if I remember correctly.
I actually don't really care if he goes to any of those except for PCC. I do need him to come a day early for PCC so we can go to Planet Comic Con night at the K and get Planet Comic Con Royals themed shirts.
That's on a Thursday?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's happening. Don't worry about that.
Can I go too?
No.
What? But I like baseball.
I'll be in town on Thursday, Tyler.
I think it's Thursday. I'll need to make sure. Let me look.
Don't you say I don't like baseball?
Name me two people who play for the Kansas City Royals.
Moose.
Counts.
And first of all, I really like going to the games because they have the best stadium food there. And
not the case. They don't.
Yes, they do. It's really good. I enjoy it. It's better than what they have at other stadiums that I've been where they play baseball in. Good thing he's muted because
the K is actually kind of notoriously bad. Like there's a couple vendors there that aren't bad, but like they like made the news with like their food violations and rats and vermin and just not nastiness.
That must be why it tasted extra good.
I mean, if you're into those things, but either way, yeah, not a new concept to throw in some geekiness to a sporting event, but it is new that they're actually doing a convention theme night beforehand. I know over in Atlanta, they often do Dragon Con. I'm sorry, Dragon Con and the Braves.
I'm sure they do it like every year at least. Yeah.
Okay. I lied. The game apparently for Comic-Con night, that doesn't even make sense. Because Comic-Con is what are the days of Comic-Con?
18th, 19th, 20th, I believe.
Never mind. Apparently they changed the date. Planet Comic Con night is like in 5 days.
I'm probably not going to be able to be there that early.
So yeah, Sunday the 24th. So apparently they're doing it like a month early. So I don't know why that's a thing.
Early or not, but it is a fun themed baseball game. So if you're in the Kansas City area, if not, you can live vicariously through Tyler. I don't know. Maybe Adam can still.
If it's a Sunday, I am now seriously considering it. That's this Sunday. What time's the game? You're muted. I can't hear you.
1:15 in the afternoon.
We'll see. We'll see. That might happen. I got to talk to the wife.
Perfect. So, yes, Planet Comic Con coming up. We always love that show. Big, big deal for us this year. And the reason we're talking about it earlier is we're doing so much planning. Project Nerd Publishing's convention debut. So we're going to have a number of titles set up there. Really exciting. Blue Moon, off to print, our first full trade graphic novel. 110 pages. Beautiful. The one that Aaron so wonderfully judged by its cover. Think she's paying attention. Maybe. No. Okay.
Wait, I'm paying attention. And I don't know why you guys give me a hard time for judging it by my cover, because I know for a fact that the CEO of PN Publishing hopes to sell that book because of the cover. Boom.
First of all, it's Project Nerd Publishing. Second of all, sales strategy, still make fun of you, even though it lines up. But the idea is to entice people with the cover, and then they actually read it. And then
I'm not going to read it on a computer screen, okay?
Well, then you'll have to spend
it on paper.
He just said, we're going to have 110 page books.
Yes. Right, well, I haven't had that yet.
Go to PN, go to pnpublishing.storenv.com.
I thought it was pre-order. I thought it was Project Nerd Publishing.
It is, but the URL.
It's confusing.
I'm going to mute both of you.
We were actually making fun of Erin because it wasn't so much that she judged it by its cover. She went on a that night about like how amazing the book was. It's so good. You should see the cover.
First of all,
I haven't read it, but it's amazing because of the cover.
Hold on. It's a graphic novel, and it's based on the art, which is based on the cover. And I did skim through the art, which is inside of it, which all looks the same. So, yeah, I can say that the book is amazing if 50% of the graphic novel is judged on the art.
I get that books like Owlie and Corgi have art with no words so that young kids can make up their own words. But this targets a slightly older, more, how should we say?
Literate?
More literate audience, an audience that can read.
So yeah, okay, but there's still
in that book.
There's still something that can be said about the art. Anyway. I'm not going to argue this anymore. You guys know that I can judge the book by its cover of the art.
Ben Gilboa's Blue Moon, Project Nerd's first graphic novel, will be available at Planet Comic Con. If you can't get there or you can't wait, said we'll have by the end of April, we'll have books in hand, and they are available for pre-order right now on our store, Envy Store. So definitely go check it out. It is at pnpublishing.storeenvy.com, courtesy of Project Nerd Publishing. So I'll make sure I throw that in there. But anyways, that will be one of the many titles debuting at Planet Comic Con. We did set up at a local comic shop this past weekend. Unfortunately, Snowmageddon, which ended up not being Snowmageddon, but there was plenty of warning for it, kept people away. There was a lot of snow, so a little bit slower, but a good dress rehearsal there. We had Tobacco Stain Mountain Goat, That Bulletproof Kid, and Radiation Day. Which actually this time, I told you guys last time, I didn't have it.
Yeah, did you bring some downstairs so we can see him this time?
I brought one downstairs. So for those listening, you don't get the joy of this, but those participating get to see our full color of Radiation Day. Oh, such beautiful colors.
Yeah, you guys
that's fantastic. Jealous. I mean, this is quality podcasting right here.
Right.
quality.
While we're at it, check out that right there.
Yeah.
We're trying to entice. Look.
Enticing.
Nude pinups in there, full color, everything like that. So enticing an audience to head over to, as we said, pnpublishing.storenv.com to pick up your order to your comics today.
Yeah, there was a sexy nude lady in there. Honestly.
ProjectNerdPublishing.com, and then that'll take me to pnpublishing.storenv.com.
No, you're going to have to go to pnpublishing.com to get to Project Nerd Publishing.
Why are you screwing with us, man?
But you don't want a super long URL. Actually, I don't even remember what our URL is. Maybe it is Project Nerd
Publishing. I think he just lied to everybody.
I don't know.
It's a 50-50 chance that he lied to everybody.
Hold on. Let's continue.
I mean, you do have access.
Let's continue this quality.
It's funny because it's definitely it's definitely pnpublishing.com. And the Twitter handle is definitely PN Publishing. The hashtag is definitely hashtag PN Publishing. The store is definitely pnpublishing.storeenvy.com. The Facebook page is definitely facebook.com/pnpublishing. So I feel like you owe Aaron an apology.
No, the company's still called Project Nerd Publishing. So if you're going to reference...
The internet says differently.
No, if you go to it, it's still called Project Nerd Publishing.
Let's rewind just a little bit. And I'm going to need you to cut that part of audio where it says, I think you owe Aaron an apology, where Tyler says that. And I just want to put it on a loop. And I'm going to play it like before I go to bed every night. Like,
does that make you...
Also, the Twitter calls it PN Publishing, Pro Nerd Publishing, and Project Nerd Publishing at three different points on the Twitter.
Because you have a limit of characters that you can't do Project Nerd Publishing as the actual name, as the handle, because it's a limit of characters, unfortunately.
I get it. So I'm looking at our Twitter page right now, and I see Pro Nerd Publishing, PN Tyler. Publishing, Project Tyler. Nerd Publishing, and PN at one point.
Tyler.
It's giving me a hard time.
Tyler.
You're just going to have to give in, Iggy. Tyler. He's not going to stop until you give in.
Hey, Tyler, let's talk about your win in Fantasy Movie League this week.
It was a tight week this week. It's really tight between the three of us. Me and Anna. That's the good ones. And then everyone else was kind of not really there. But
everyone else decided they didn't want to put Jungle Book in their screens this week, which turned out to be a mistake.
It was expensive.
And it still won top performer.
Yeah, it still won the top performer bonus. It killed it.
Yeah, where did it end up? 107, something like that for the weekend for it? I think it was 107 million. Either way, Jungle Book did fantastic. Yeah, Tyler won with $125 million. He beat Anne by a little over 100,000.
110,000. And yep. Anne beat you by... A million.
A little over a million.
Mm-hmm. And Iggy, you beat Iggy by, I can't even do the math, that's too many millions. 50-something million? 40-something million?
Iggy beat Iggy by 50 million? That's probably
Iggy beat Iggy beat Jared by 59 million. Jared, you had a bad week while traveling to China.
Jared, thank you for going to China this past weekend.
And Aaron scored a whole $175,000.
In my defense...
Wah, wah.
In my defense, Jared was still in the United States when he could have set his board. So the fact that he still has the same movies as last week cannot be excused by his travel.
So what excuses you for choosing the new Barbershop sequel as your number one pick?
Because I thought it was going to be a sleeper hit. It's Barbershop, man. Like, doesn't everybody want to see Barbershop 12? Didn't we establish this last weekend?
You know that there was a Jon Favreau Disney movie that came out this last weekend, right?
Yeah, that cost like 90% of your budget.
Yeah, it was a Disney rated G movie directed by Jon Favreau. I feel like you're missing something here. I mean, Zootopia still made another $8 million this last weekend.
Yeah, I'm going hard on Zootopia this week. All in on Zootopia.
So anybody that's playing at home, don't follow Iggy's advice. This will be bad for you.
All eight screens on Zootopia. No, what's funny is actually at this point, what now, the past 3 or 4 weeks, even with my one win that still propelled me nowhere, I've actually been trying the past few weeks and just not succeeding. So I can no longer pull the excuse out of my pocket that Aaron has of, oh, I don't do it, so I can't be blamed for my failures. But
yeah, you're just bad at picking movies.
Yeah, but you can't mock me because you don't even do it. So
I will say that Jungle Book is severely overpriced this week. They actually bumped the price up for it.
Yep.
And it will make less money than it did, obviously, last weekend. Although I don't think their new top one after that, the Huntsman sequel, prequel, whatever, is going to do much of anything. So,
Especially because the first one was not that great.
Yeah, but they got rid of the bad parts of it and just brought back the good parts.
So they got rid of Kristen Stewart, is what you're saying?
Yeah. And they brought back Thor and Charlize Theron. What more do you want?
Okay. I might be in for this then.
Don't. It's a trap. It's a trap. It's a movie about a war between two people, one of which is in the movie that takes place after the movie that you're going to watch. So it's not really like a lot of, I don't know how you build tension to a movie where the main character is someone who is existing and alive and doing perfectly fine in the movie that sequentially follows this one.
Well, here's especially since if Hemsworth and Charlize Theron are both big characters in this, I feel like she would have had some inkling of who he was in the, you know, following movie. That was actually the movie that came before it.
Here's the thing. Kristen Stewart's impact on this movie not being in it will probably be as equal to the impact of the movies she is in. She will bring no emotion, no range, and, well, really no entertainment value actually at all. So,
speaking of which, that kind of makes me want to see Equals.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, speaking of which, Elizabeth Banks. New pictures of Rita Repulsa showed up.
I wasn't going to say that because Elizabeth Banks is a good actress.
So I was actually curious about that. So this week, Tuesday, pictures of Rita Repulsa show up. Cool looking pictures, updated Power Rangers look. But it's Elizabeth Banks and people are so excited for her. And I didn't realize people really do think she's a good actress.
She does perfectly fine. She's not Meryl Streep, but she's a fine actress.
Yeah, she's fine. She's like Jessica Biel. Like she's a step above Jessica Biel.
But where does Jessica Biel fit in the entertainment value either?
Elizabeth Banks is significantly funnier than Jessica Biel. Like Elizabeth Banks is not like an
yeah, she has
dramatic actress, but she's
hilarious. More range. Yeah, she is funny. She's more likable.
I mean, she didn't destroy.
That's the only Scrubs. Thing that's better.
She didn't destroy some other things.
She was good on 30 Rock. She was fantastic in Pitch Perfect. She was very good in the Lego Movie.
Oh yeah, she was great in that.
Yeah.
So she's good in things where she doesn't have to push herself too hard.
She was good in she's good in comedy. She was good in Role Model. She was good in Zack and Mary Make a Porno.
Okay. Yeah.
She was good in the original Spider-Man movies as Betty Brant.
Yeah. She's in it for like 3 seconds.
She's all three of them though. She's good in Wet Hot American Summer, the original and the sequel.
And the sequel.
Sequel prequel, which is my favorite sequel prequels.
But even like you can't give her the argument of being in all three Spider-Mans and saying like, oh, she was good in it. Well, yeah. So
she was a good Betty Brant.
Okay. Bruce Campbell was great in all three Spider-Mans too.
She had a few more lines than Bruce Campbell did.
Either way, it's still true. He was great in all three
Spider-Mans. And she was a really good Effie Trinket. Whatever else you want to say about her, she was fantastic in that role.
All right. Nah.
The thing is it's not like she does a lot of movies. Like, she's not in a ton of stuff. But I think when she is, she's usually serviceable, if not better than average.
Okay.
Especially when it's a comedy.
But there you go. She's, as you said, your pulling for her was even, if not better than average. So...
Okay, better than average is way above of what you should expect to get from a Power Rangers movie.
Right. I think when you're looking at it, what we're talking about is Rita Repulsa, and that's a character that is over the top and slightly ridiculous and basically a running punchline. Right. And I think Elizabeth Banks is going to do really well in that role. She may not be a great actress, but she's going to fit that role really, really well.
I mean, let's go back and play some clips of Rita from the television show. And I mean, I feel like she's going to be okay.
Now, I do appreciate the many comments that mentioned Rita being whitewashed here. And I do want to point out for all those people our age, if they don't remember, that the Yellow Ranger, in fact, was originally Asian. That the Black Ranger was originally Black. Pink Ranger, of course, was a girl. And the leader was definitely the white male of the group. So
who looked kind of Native American and
wasn't the nerdy one. No, he wasn't the nerdy male because there was two white guys, but he wasn't the nerdy one. It was the strong athletic white male. So,
I mean, I feel like any arguments about whitewashing Power Rangers are moot when the entire show is an Asian show that they just take the action scenes from and then film the interstitials with American actors and then use the Japanese footage for all the action sequences. I don't think you're allowed to like bitch about whitewashing a movie that's fully appropriated from Japan, and then they just cut out the Asian people faces and put in human scenes. I mean, put in American scenes. The scenes with people who are not aliens and robots are just Americans that are stuck in, and not very good actor ones.
True story.
Except for Skull and whatever, the two bad guys. Those guys
Skull
were
awesome. And Bulk, right?
Yeah, those guys were cool.
I wonder if we'll have a new Skull and Bulk in the remake here. I'm kind of hoping so.
They're not listed in IMDb, but IMDb just has like the five Rangers, Elizabeth Banks, and then like three other people.
Okay. I was just gonna add to the Power Ranger conversation, but I think everything was already said.
Either way, we're getting a Power Rangers remake. Elizabeth Banks or no Elizabeth Banks, which there is one, Elizabeth Banks.
I'm pretty sure there's definitely going to be one in there. I don't...
Whether she's in it or not, my point is I am excited for this remake. Yeah, because, I mean, Power Rangers. I still like the Power Rangers, and I'm not ashamed to say it.
Anyway, the point that I was...
Like Walter Jones.
The point that I was trying to segue into ahead of time that you assumed was Elizabeth Banks was, speaking of Kristen Stewart, there's a trailer out for a new movie called Equals, starring her and Nicholas Holt. And the premise is it's a Gattaca-esque, like, futuristic utopian society where human emotions have been eradicated. Everyone lives in peace.
If you watch
the trailer, the first good half of it is her playing a emotionless automaton, and they fall in love.
I feel like she's found
her niche, and you need to watch the trailer for it. In fact, the director that made it, like, made it very clear that he'd specifically chosen Kristen Stewart and Nicholas Holt to play it. Now, Nicholas Holt, I think, has an amazing range. Like, I like Nicholas Holt a lot, and he's one of those guys, when he shows up in movies, you don't always know it's him. But at the same time, like, he was quite convincing as a, you know, zombie that just grunts and doesn't say anything for the first half of that, of Warm Bodies, so.
And I feel like Kristen Stewart does a really good job. I mean, she does a really good job playing just a serious, emotionless role. Just as much as Elizabeth Banks does a really good job playing a quirky, cute person. That's it. Yep, that's perfect. Perfect. That picture of Kristen Stewart in her role as the emotionless zombie. That's like exactly who she was in when she played the 15-year-old in Into the Wild with that one kid.
Emile Hirsch.
Yeah, Emile Hirsch.
No, I think it's, yeah, her, maybe her first fitting role. I don't know. We'll find out. She still might be able to be too emotionless for an emotionless role. I don't know. I think she can manage that. We'll find out, I guess. But interesting. So I guess that trailer dropped recently. We'll go with yes. We'll go with yes.
Well, there was a teaser trailer that came out a little bit, but this, like, the full trailer just came out like a couple days ago or a little while ago.
Speaking of images sneaking out, as we're talking about Power Rangers, I know it was last Thursday, and we did drop a news story for it, but and we, our podcast aired on Friday, but we had already recorded when the first shot from Paramount of Scarlett Johansson as for the title character in Ghost in the Shell, so the Hollywood version of the live action Ghost in the Shell movie, is upon us. They've started pre-production. They showed her again, controversy in regards to whitewashing and even more.
I need you to come up with two or three more sentences that include the words controversy and whitewashing, please.
I can't speak this evening, I guess. I don't know. But anyways, of course there's that. But not to mention, the whole time I saw the image, it was hard to get exciting because all I could think was Eon Flux. Like, I was like, we saw how bad that turned out. So I don't know.
No, this is actually, like, there's a huge dearth of source material for Ghost in the Shell, whereas Aeon Flux was a, like, 15-minute cartoon of just straight action sequences.
Yeah, but it was awesome.
The cartoon was awesome, but it wasn't something you base a major motion picture off of. Whereas Ghost in the Shell, between all the different series, the movies and stuff like that, there's a lot of actual material there to work with.
Tyler, you're underestimating Hollywood. They will turn anything into a major motion picture.
Yes, I realize that. I'm just saying that there's something here that you could maybe make a good movie with, whereas with Aeon Flux, that was not a possibility.
All right. So there's hope. There's hope, you're saying. I hope so. I would like to see a decent movie. We will have this weekend, actually, the new Ghost in the Shell, the new movie. So the movie that followed the newer series from it, over from Funimation, that review will be up courtesy of George. So he had some good things to say about it. I already snuck a peek at it.
Well, about your Ghost in the Shell movie, it's funny that we were talking about Kristen Stewart and Snow White and the Huntsman. Isn't that director doing the Ghost in the Shell movie? I feel really very certain that the director of Snow White and the Huntsman, starring emotionless Kristen Stewart, is directing the new Ghost in the Shell movie.
Possibly, I don't.
And that concerns me. Tyler, click faster. Find the answer to my question.
I honestly don't know who's making it, but I can find out for you.
Thank you, Tyler. So yes, I think all the whitewashing stuff there. I mean, there's a long discussion to be had there, probably longer than we can have on the Nerdcast. Mostly more concerned about who's directing the movie than the cast.
The director is Rupert Sanders, who is best known for directing 2012's Snow White and the Huntsman.
Who's also best known for having an affair with Kristen Stewart during filming Snow White and the Huntsman, because that smile, when she unleashes that smile, he just couldn't hold back.
Yeah, so that has me much, much more concerned. And in line with what Tyler was saying earlier, there's so much good in the Ghost in the Shell world, and I think they're going to do bad, and that bums me out. And I like Scarlett Johansson a lot. I watched Lucy recently, and it's not good. And so I don't even know if she can save a bad movie.
But I mean, Angelina Jolie did was it Salt, which is basically Lucy or Jason Bourne, all those ones as well. And that wasn't any good. And she's a solid actress.
Yeah. And it didn't make the movie any better. It was still a bad movie.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So, you know, Lucy, it's hard to say, because it feels like with those movies, the good parts of it, you've already seen it so many times. So it's like, so it's really hard to say. I guess what you're saying is, even though Scarlett Johansson's in it, doesn't necessarily mean she's going to save it. Good point. Point taken. I mean, point taken. So I guess I just wanted to bash on Salt. I don't know. I wanted Aaron to point out that I've never seen Salt. And then I would be like, no, I've never seen Salt. And she'd be like, see?
How would I know if you've never seen Salt? Come on.
That's not the point. The point is that I was judging something without seeing it. And that's typically your thing.
Well,
anyways, moving on there. So
I mean, everybody does it. It's just that you guys always give me the hard time for it.
I mean, everybody does it every once in a while. Then there's those people that do it every episode of the Nerdcast.
You know what? I'm sorry. I see a preview and I pretty much know what I'm going to think about it. I'm very rarely surprised when I go see a movie. Really.
Thank you for the pause for the added effect there.
And that's okay. What's not okay is saying, I watched a preview and so I know that movie sucks. That's a different statement. You could say, I watched
a preview. True.
You can say I watched a movie and I know that I wouldn't like the movie.
Okay.
I'm okay with that statement.
You fair assessment.
That I watched a preview and that movie sucked, because you don't know if the movie was any good.
It's true. And then, let's be honest, there's a lot of really bad trailers for good movies and a lot of really good trailers for bad movies.
I don't know. I just feel like I can see through that.
Sometimes you think you can, but like, there are great movies have terrible trailers made for them.
We can
just can't, Aaron.
And I'm positive that you don't have the ability to see through previews. Yeah, 100%.
If it's
positive.
A 3.5 minute preview, I can do it.
Judging that your views on those things, as Adam's pointing out in previous Nerdcasts, often don't reflect with that of the rest of the world, means you probably can't do really.
I want to cuss so bad right now, but this is supposed to be PG-13, so I'm just going to mute myself.
That's only because Aaron has the special ability to, you know, be able to tell you everything about what's wrong with the movie without ever having actually seen the movie. So,
she's a special muted, talent. She's muted, but I think she thinks we're number one. That's what I think she was doing.
We're number one.
I don't think that's the finger that I was holding up to represent the number one, but
I like how she's like, this is a PG-13 podcast. Well, I got two things for you, Aaron. I'll get those swear words out of you. Kurt Cobain and Game of Thrones. That's all I have to say. Now I'll spend the next 15 minutes editing F-bombs out.
I'm going to stop right there. Can we go back to Kansas City and talk about happy, fun things?
Let's all go to Kansas City. I'm up for going to Kansas City right now. Why not? Let's all meet there.
Let's talk about Q39 and how I'm going to be a cosplay guest.
Oh, hey, Aaron, are you going to be a cosplay guest at Q39?
I didn't know Q39 brought in cosplay guests.
They're going to sponsor me and give me all the food I want all weekend.
I love Q39 that's quite good, but I need you guys to get off the Q39 train because there's other barbecue here that's
– Then take us there.
But have you had Q39, Tyler?
I've had Q39 many times, and it's very good. There's still better barbecue in Kansas.
I want to go somewhere better than that because I can't also, even imagine.
I don't want my barbecue joint to be that classy. That ruins the whole experience.
Yeah, I want it to be real shitty.
I need some bad linoleum. Yeah. And, like, shitty slices of white bread on
Arthur Brian's downtown. Arthur Brian's downtown.
Yeah. Arthur Brian's downtown, Joe's Kansas City at Mission and 47th. I feel like that's what we got to do.
But are they going to sponsor me?
I mean,
I hate to break it to you. Just because you decided that Q39 was sponsoring you 5 minutes ago doesn't mean it's actually happening.
Oh, that's true. Well, I mean, that was just a mix up of words. And then I decided it was a good idea. So
Q39 is sponsoring you at the same level all the other barbecue restaurants in Kansas City are sponsoring you, just so you know that. Same level.
I don't know. There's like 300 barbecue restaurants here. I feel like maybe I could probably get one of them to sponsor her.
Probably. Can do a cosplayers eating ribs calendar, getting barbecue sauce all over their costumes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I feel like you can get people to buy that. I don't know if you can get
costumes. Oh, no.
Be okay with barbecue sauce on their costumes.
You guys, I got a good idea. You know how they have the squirt bottles of the barbecue sauce? I love the spicy kind and the sweet kind, and I could be like squirting it.
You know, there's times where I'm really glad that this is audio only.
And there's times where I'm reminded that Erin often is the only one laughing at her own jokes.
It's not a joke. That joke would be an amazing shot. Okay.
Sorry. Her sexual reference or sexual innuendo.
I'm sorry that you find me covering myself in barbecue sauce sexual. That's not my problem. I think it sounds delicious.
Okay. Yeah. The hand motions and the giggles, the immature giggles had no implication, no reason for me to believe that
it's not
something there.
I wasn't.
All right. Well, just let us know we're number one again and we'll move on.
But I will get to be a guest at Planet Comic Con.
Not because of Q39, Tyler.
Sorry.
You know what we should just talk about? Considering it's only fair, you know how like
moving on.
Network television, network news and stuff there's very specific FCC rules about equal coverage. Like if you're going to run a thing about this political candidate, you have to run a thing about this political candidate, this party, that party. The sheer amount of times that we spent talking about Batman v Superman and all things dog shit that are DC, I feel like we have to spend all of this week, all of next week, and all of the week after that talking about Captain America Civil War.
But we really don't, because we're all excited for it. We all know it's going to be a good movie. All of the people that listen to our podcast have seen the trailers, and 90% of them have the same feeling about it. There's not that whole...
I know, but I mean, it could just be positive. We could just talk about how fucking pumped we are for it and how much better it's going to be than anything DC has done or will do.
Tyler, how excited are you for Captain America Civil War?
I was wavering a little bit there, but then some of the new trailers and then some of the early buzz from people who saw the pre-screens and the releases, like I have yet to hear a not good thing about it. And apparently there's way more Spider-Man in it than originally considered, like 30 minutes of him. And apparently, I mean, Anthony Russo's come out and said that, you know, he's critical to the movie. I'm so fucking pumped. They're obviously not doing Civil War like the comic book Civil War, which is also a good plan, because as many good moments and good issues that year and a half long event brought, it's a pretty terrible story, but I have faith in the Russo brothers and I'm pumped.
Erin, are you excited for Captain America Civil War?
I'm sorry for the pause, but I don't even know how to respond to that. What do you guys think? Do you think I'm excited?
Adam, are you excited for Captain America Civil War?
I am, yes. And as far as Erin being excited, my initial thought, the pause, was because she wanted, really, really actually wants to answer not really, and that she's kind of over Marvel's movies, but I don't know.
I believe
my initial thought was when you asked her and then she paused and then asked us, my initial thought is, who gives a shit? Because the rest of us are pumped.
Yeah, I'm super over it, and you guys don't give a shit. That's basically sums it up.
Oh, poor Aaron. We need that Charlie, the sad Charlie Brown music.
Are you really over the Marvel thing?
I'll keep watching it, and I'm glad it's Captain America. Like, as the shut your face, man. I'm going to mute you. No, I'm glad that Captain America is the main title because I really like the Captain America stories. I still like I liked Ant-Man. What I don't like is the Avengers storyline right now. Like, I like it, but I feel like it's just getting... It's just dragging too much. It's too big. It's convoluted. It's reminding me of a soap opera, I guess. I've talked about it before. So it's like... It's
too big and convoluted. I can...
Yeah. That.
Not like that Batman...
Shut up!
Anyways, I would agree. The Avengers Age of Ultron, it probably one of my least favorites so far in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And I agree, that was many of the reasons. And I feel like when they have the characters in there, they're trying to make too many Iron Mans, too many Tony Starks, it seems like. And I don't know. I think if we can follow through, the Russo brothers have done a good job so far. As you pointed out, the Captain America movies, I think, have been two of the stronger, if not the strongest movies so far in terms of story and, you know, just good all-around movies. So hopefully we'll see a lot here, even with being a full team up. I think there's a lot of potential. I mean, the first Avengers was great. It was fun. It was a blast. And they managed to make the formula work with all the characters. So I think we can still make it work. They just got to do it right. And from the trailers, and like Tyler said, the early reviews, the early screenings, it sounds like they are.
Well, yeah. And that's the thing. When I want to say when they screened Batman versus Superman, and everyone's like, oh, the reviews are great. And they got great reviews from the early screenings, early returns were all fairly positive.
Standing ovation.
Yeah, right. Didn't they go back and do some reshoots after that too?
No, but the thing is all the buzz, like all the positive reviews that Beav versus Superman got was them showing it to people who work for Warner Brothers. Like, it was all like industry suits, people who work for the company. Like, Marvel has shown this movie to like actual movie reviewers and people like who don't work for Disney. Like, they've been showing it to actual fans, and they've been doing fan screenings all across the country. Like, if you're signed up for Disney's See It First website, like, you've had the option to buy like early screening films. Like, they're showing it to whoever wants to see it. Batman vs. Superman didn't get shown to anyone, and it had a review moratorium, which is always a good sign for a big tentpole movie like that. But I don't think anyone outside of Warner Brothers saw it until the premiere. Or that's a lie. I mean, reviewers saw it early, but they didn't get to. It was like the week before.
It's pretty harsh, man.
What's harsh? He's naming, like, he's just listing out facts of actual things that happened. Yeah, the early Warner screening that did just people went nuts about for Ben Affleck, and they got a standing ovation. That's true. Both points true because, yeah, it was only to Warner people. And it was, yeah, before the movie was even complete. It wasn't even a matter of reshoots. They were still in post-production during that time. So yeah, it wasn't even finished that because that was back in what, September sometime. And I mean,
people were like, hey, there's a really good movie somewhere in here. I bet they're going to finish this in post-production. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah. That's what
they just left it all in there.
They're like, do you know, there was a lot of those themes that I'm sure will end up dying on the cutting floor and we'll get this really good cohesive movie.
But, well, apparently the movie at one point was 4 hours long in the editing process. So like that's come out recently.
That's why it was a standing
after the screening,
like, it's finally over. Yeah.
And after the screening, fine. Apparently Batman's role went from about this big to about this big, and they still wanted to make it larger and did not.
Well, that's because Henry Cavill does nothing in the movie. Did nothing in Man of Steel. This is not Superman at all. So, but we're doing what we're not supposed to be doing. We're not giving fair amount of coverage to both parties here, to both political parties.
Okay, I'll tell you what. We'll jump off of Civil War because we didn't get to really talk about it for real last week because we watched it immediately after recording. Let's talk about how pumped we are for Doctor Strange.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all I have to say.
I can tell by watching that preview that it's going to be a good movie.
We're all laughing too much. Aaron, I'm sorry. You should have grabbed your headset since your microphone's on it and just dropped it. Right. You should have just dropped it. I will give you that.
Well played, Miss Aaron. Well played.
You have had your moment for sure right there.
I know nothing about Doctor Strange other than the Dr. Morpheus caricature of him on the Venture Brothers. That's about it.
So, gist of Dr. Stephen Strange is he was a really good, really giant asshole surgeon who was like...
No, not really good. He was
the world class, people flying from other countries, just killing it surgeon. He was also a giant asshole and then was in a horrific accident and fucked his hands up and was no longer able to. And then he traveled the world and then learned mystical powers, learned to be slightly less of an asshole, and then became Sorcerer Supreme, protector of Earth and all the various dimensions. He has all sorts of really crazy titles.
If you
his stories, his just Doctor Strange, they go off into weird dimensions, and he's got this necklace. It's the Eye of Agamemnon. He's got there's all sorts of
strange. He has the Eye of Agamemnon, from ancient Greece.
Yes. Yeah, but sweet. I think, Tyler, you misrepresented it. His assholeness drops considerably. It's his arrogance that stays a little bit there. That makes you kind of think, but no, he becomes, he definitely is, eats a large piece of humble pie.
Well, it's one of those things about him is he, when you get straight down to who could do the most, there are very few non Galactus, Silver Surfer characters in the Marvel Universe that are as powerful as Stephen Strange. Doctor Strange is literally one of the most powerful people in the universe. He's just too busy saving us from interdimensional threats to really worry about what everyone else is doing.
He's not worried about Ultron right now.
There's a scene in Civil War where someone's basically he could totally just fix this with a thought, but a wave of the hand, but he's busy doing other things.
What a jerk.
No, it's the Marvel strategy as DC's here's Superman, who's so powerful to the point that people get tired of it. We're going to cram him down your throat with just a little bit different story arc, but nothing really changed the character. Marvel kind of takes these characters that are so powerful in the universe that we're we're going to toss them aside over here and not make them a huge thing in front of everybody until we really need them for a moment. So we'll just kind of, they're there, Purple Man's a great reference. I mean, he's too powerful of a villain. So where is he? He's just kind of, he's this other villain in the Defender story and things like that.
Marvel does a better job than DC at that then.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They don't cram these overpowerful, but the character's still there. And I'm excited for the movie. I thought Tilda Swinton is the one who's about 90% of the dialogue in the trailer is from her. And really gets excited there. See a brief moment from some of the other characters, really incredible cast, honestly. There's just a deep, strong cast. And I'm sure, and I'm hoping, of course, cameos will happen and everything like that. And we'll get some good after credit scenes that tie it into everything else Marvel's doing. So we will find out.
I just want to say that my whole introduction to Doctor Strange came from cosplay. And I know this girl who does an amazing Doctor Strange.
Do tell.
Oh, I should probably mention the name. You can look up Alex B. Cosplay and see. She does a pinup style Doctor Strange. So it makes you feel really weird because it's this dude superhero that she's cosplaying. And it's pinup style. And it's I don't know. It's cool. It makes me feel kind of strange.
No pun intended.
It's super sexy.
All right. Good story. So... yeah, Alex B. Cosplay does have a good Doctor Strange and a number of other good Doctor Strange cosplays, too. Maybe a cosplay.
Yeah, but before her, I didn't know who Doctor Strange was.
She did. I was there at Dragon Con when she gave you the rundown of the character.
Yeah, and she
I was going to say, was Tyler's story was it's very similar. It's like they're reading Wikipedia or something.
I just started making up words because he uses his powers from, it's like Agamotto, not Agamen. I'm just making up because he's got an orb and he's got an eye and he's got a cloak and he's got a book. Got a lot of artifacts that he has to schlep around to do his magical stuff. The cloak of levitation and the book of Vishanti, and I don't know. There's a lot of really hard to pronounce names of entities from other dimensions that he either fights and or gets his
power. The final record of AC/DC, all those different
something
things.
Unlike that. Yeah, you could seriously just list off words from his comic books and you're either talking about interdimensional beings or Scandinavian metal bands. I'm not sure which. It could be either one.
Many Scandinavian metal bands might have picked their names because of him.
So. I would not find that strange.
I like the
strong
use of the words strange in many of these explanations here. I think y'all are doing a very good job of that right now. Keep it up. Keep it up. Adam, you and I still have to drop one in there in regards to a Doctor Strange conversation. I would find it strange if we didn't be able to, if we weren't able to fit one in.
Mm-hmm.
I cheated there.
Yeah, that was really lame.
You stole my cheat. I was going to say it'd be strange that I get out-punned by somebody.
That's why I wanted to beat you to it, so that way I didn't have to use my brain. Aaron, you can call me lame all you want, but you know who got out of this episode without thinking? This guy. Thank you very
much. You get out of every episode without thinking.
Wow.
It'd be strange if you didn't.
Oh.
Ooh, that was good. That was real good.
Whatever.
So let's talk about something that everyone seems to have forgotten about, but is still inexplicably going forward. James Cameron is now going to make 4 Avatar sequels and is going to film them all at the same time.
Best headline so far on this. As long as James Cameron keeps announcing more Avatar sequels and doesn't make them, we're all doing good. So that's all. That was the best headline I read on it. But yeah, up to 4. Because what we started with 2, it was going to be a trilogy. And then he's like, well, I've got so much content here. I think we're going to be able to draw out a third one. And then now, yeah, just what was this past week? It was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to do all 4. Then the rest of my life is going to be about these Avatar movies. And
yeah. Well, not only that, he's filming 4. But he's filming them all at the same time, but not in like the Lord of the Rings, like back to back to back style. Like seriously, just as one big production, like shooting, like he said, he called it like shooting a mini series, like just shooting all across the scripts simultaneously. So there's no way that like that could affect the tone or the pacing or anything of any of those films.
Tyler, I can't tell if there was sarcasm there or not.
You're right. It sounded like he was so into it.
Well, it's going to be, I mean, James Cameron is a very gifted director. And as he said, it's probably going to be the most challenging thing he's ever done. And he's sure that the actors will be challenged by it as well. And I'm sure that everything will go flawlessly and there will be no problems whatsoever. So the sad thing is, let me tell you, I make jokes like this is the dumbest idea ever. But let me tell you, let's talk about all the people in Hollywood who, you know, have not given James Cameron the benefit of the doubt. I don't think any of those guys have jobs anymore. But anyone who was like, you know what, here's some money, have fun, those guys are doing okay. You discount James Cameron at your
true story. Band. True story. Very true story.
Because he puts his pants on one leg at a time, just like the rest of us. The only difference is he makes $1 billion grossing movies afterwards. Not one, but $2 billion grossing movies.
Aaron's talking and she's unmuted, yet there's no audio.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
It's been years. It's been what? 8 years?
No. Nope. Since how? 5. 6. Oh,
6. Whatever. Same thing. 6 years since the Avatar movies came out. And like by the time, like when is he going to start shooting the next ones? Like, that's a long time.
Time works differently. It's a whole other planet. Don't worry about it. You'll be okay. Yeah, just put some dirt on it.
Their revolution around the sun is a lot longer than ours.
Yeah, but what about the actors? They're going to be like, you know, older.
I don't know.
Computer animated in blue?
Any other movie for the next 30 years.
Then. What about the bad guy? The Italian last name.
The one that they killed?
No, the one with the Italian last name.
Giovanni Ribisi, who they sent back to Earth.
Did he go back to Earth?
Yeah, remember they all stood there in a line and watched them get on the ships and fly away?
I mean, I watched that movie so many times.
Jake was
that I decided I didn't like it anymore.
Okay.
I don't know.
I don't remember.
It was like 13 years between him making Titanic and Avatar. The guy can do kind of whatever he wants.
It was a very good movie, but I got a little sick of it after I saw it too many times.
It was
like eating too much cotton candy.
It was definitely.
How did you feel about the trailers?
Funny you should mention that. I thought that the trailers portrayed it as a very good movie, and I was correct. You guys should unmute yourself for all that laughter, because I see you just rolling in your chairs there.
Is judging a book by its cover the same as judging a movie by its trailer, or is that like the same sort of vein?
No, it's totally different.
That would be movie.
Judge
poster.
A book by its cover.
That be
movie poster. Movie? So it's like judging a book by like the blurb on the back of it. Maybe
you judge a book by its cover. Like that's like no, you don't do that. Then like graphic novel, like 25% of that can go into judging it, like 25%. But a movie, you can judge like 80% of the movie by the trailer. I just made that up. I feel like that was really accurate.
You know that 90% of all statistics are made up.
I feel like that wasn't even a statistic. That was just a good estimate.
Citation needed.
Good story. Good story. Yeah. Let's get some footnotes on that one. We'll put them in the post for the podcast. I have a feeling, though, she's not going to be able to provide us any links.
We don't need footnotes. That was just Erin coming up with really good advice.
Erin's only data for any of her wild claims are anecdotal mentions of the literally thousands of people who agree with her on her Facebook.
Literally.
I need you guys to comment, please.
There are literally dozens of us.
Back me up.
Because you remember that one time at that one convention, that
no,
one
they come up to me at convention
about that one thing.
They come up to me.
Literally thousands of people.
You guys,
all of our listeners. Adam's wiping tears away.
The problem with her claims about
just this weekend, I was talking to our friends, and they were like, "I know. I wish I was there. I wish I was in that podcast so I could have backed you up."
No,
I know
our friends.
On what? Remember, on what claim did they want to back you up on?
It doesn't matter. Let's move on.
The problem is like you make these claims about all these people who, and you claim more supporters than I'm convinced are actual listeners to our podcast. Like, I don't think that many people actually listen. That you claim.
I'm not giving you actual numbers. I never do. And by the way, for your reference, some people were having a conversation. It was at a comic book day thing that I was at for independent publishers. And this guy who's an independent publisher was standing there talking to this guy actually dressed in a Batman suit.
This
and they were
guy
talking.
Who was with another guy whose name.
Stop it. Well, of course I'm not going to use their names. They're personal friends of mine.
Intended to be another dude.
They were talking about how awesome the Batman versus Superman movie was, and they were bitching about how the critics were so hard on the movie. And I was like, gosh, I know. So crappy, wasn't it? And my friend dressed in the Batman costume was like, yeah, I know. I listened to that podcast. And Erin, I got to say, I wish I was on that podcast because I just thought it was so wrong.
So first of all, I want to point out that friend in the Batman costume, when the way you were saying it makes it sound like this imaginary friend you have. Second of all, three people does not translate to literally thousands of people.
I have not said that.
No, actually you have.
You imply that the people on your side is much larger than it is.
But not only that, you have actually said, you have literally said that literally thousands of people agree with you.
That's true, though. I mean, the country is large and vast. Like,
it is true. Just because she doesn't know any of these thousands of people, there are thousands of people that think Superman is a good movie.
I got to be honest, Erin, if you're going to pick one of your unpopular and ultimately wrong opinions to like be your hill to go and die on, Batman versus Superman is not the one to choose. You have some much more legitimate poor opinions.
I'm really bad with recall memory when it comes to defining specifically what arguments I'm better at. But that is just one from just a few days ago.
Is that because you just make your nonsense claims up on the spot and then next time it's whatever?
Dang it. Where did this come
from?
I don't like this conversation. I don't like it. Let's change the subject.
Superman is not the one to choose.
Why are we picking on me tonight?
Because you had your moment and you had your moment and you put us all in our place for a second there. With a good comeback.
Oh, that's right. And now you got to come down hard on me. You just got to put me back in my place.
All right. So we're going to have to wrap it up. And we'll probably have to title this episode something about Erin getting picked on. But Erin, I'm going to give you the option here. And I'm not going to give you a hard time if you choose not to. But because we were picking on you so much, I'm going to give you the option of which place you would like to go to. Or first, second, or third in terms of our final thoughts.
I get first choice.
Yeah, but if your computer's about to die, you might want to make that choice pretty quickly here.
Okay. So does that mean like I get to say whatever I want?
It means that we're going to sit here and wait for you to ask a few more questions and your battery's going to die and we're going to close the episode without you. That's what it means.
That's not what I want. Okay. So final thoughts for me, Planet Comic Con is coming up in just a few weeks, and it's something that I'm more excited about than anything because at that show, I have met more people who are like so excited about, you know, working with Project Nerd, following Project Nerd. We have so many supporters there, and I'm so thrilled to go back to Kansas City and see that group of people. And I'm more than grateful that they're giving me a chance to be a guest again. That's just crazy. Also, barbecue. So if you own a barbecue joint in Kansas City, I am open to being a sponsor for you. I will go to your barbecue shop and eat your barbecue.
No, you want them to be a sponsor for you is what you meant.
Oh.
You're sponsoring them means you're going to give them money.
Yeah. I'll dress in costume and you can give me barbecue while I sit there and eat it.
Hell, if you're going to give out free barbecue for people dressed in costume, I'll dress in costume. I think the other two guys will agree with this as well. We will all come in costume.
And we'll pour barbecue sauce on ourselves.
I'm actually okay just paying for it.
Tyler's like, so great point, though, in terms of Planet Comic-Con, Aaron. Even though Kansas City is not necessarily our biggest market online, it is definitely a top five market. A number of people know us there, but with such our home base for so long and such a large part of our team is still there.
That it and it's the coolest city of all the cities.
It definitely is the market we go to where people just eagerly seek us out. So it is exciting there. Tyler, would you like to give us a few closing words here? Final thoughts?
My poster looks pretty cool.
I don't know if we, I don't know, hold on though. I don't know if we really discussed it on the podcast though. We
did discuss it on the podcast quite a bit.
We did?
I think it was the one that you guys weren't on.
Oh, okay. Your Blade Runner poster. Oh, that's right. I do remember because I edited it and you guys talked about it. But yes, congratulations, Tyler.
It looks good.
Caught his white well at C2E2 this year.
What else? Last week, Benedict Jacka's new Alex Barris novel came out, Burned. I just picked it up finally this week, so I'm probably going to start that tonight and maybe finish it. We'll see how much sleep I need. I don't know. Looking forward to Planet Comic Con. The Royals just won tonight, so that's always good. But hopefully we'll see a lot of you in Kansas City, and it'll be the premiere of Project Nerd Publishing at pnpublishing.com.
Hooray. All right, Adam, final thoughts.
Final thoughts. I am reading a bunch. I just finished Star Wars: A New Dawn. Good book. Really enjoyed that. If you're into Star Wars Expanded Universe, check it out. I have a couple of books that will potentially make Tyler jealous, so I'm going to mention those because I'm excited about it. We got a copy of a 30th anniversary edition of Frank Herbert and Brian Herbert's collaborative work, Man of Two Worlds. So I'm excited about that because I enjoy me some Frank Herbert. Also got a copy of Brian Herbert's collection of his short stories. The name of that's escaping me right now because I haven't started it. So, but a couple books.
I would avoid the prequels by Brian Herbert and Kevin J. Anderson.
Oh, no. It's just, it's short stories. And Man of Two Worlds is a totally different set from the Dune series that Brian Herbert writes.
Dangerous Worlds.
Right? I'm just saying it seems like a good idea at the time. And then you get like five or six deep and you're just like, what am I doing with my life?
I haven't fallen down that rabbit hole yet, but that may be on the horizon. So keep reading good books. I also am going to read Watchmen probably this week or next week. I'm excited about that. So
fist bump.
Lots of things going on there.
Exciting. Great points there too. Kansas City, excited for Tyler brought it up. Project Nerd Publishing, so it's huge for us. We do have a number of our titles available online. If you're interested in them and you can't get to the conventions that we have coming up immediately, please pick them up. If you're not going to be at Kansas City and you're thinking, hey, I'll hold on till Denver Comic Con, O Comic Con, Colorado Springs Comic Con, the list goes on and on. Can't guarantee that we will have certain titles in stock if they sell well, because a lot of these conventions are just a few weeks apart. Second of all, first printing, I mean, because obviously they're going to be collector's items. So get your hands on there. Head over to pnpublishing.storenv.com or to pnpublishing.com for the Project Nerd Publishing's main site. And you can click over to the shop button. Pick up your pre-orders. Pick up the orders of the physical copies we have. Show us some support. Show them some love. If you are other brands or other sites, I know we have a lot of other podcasters that we interact with that listen to us, and you want to review copies, reach out to us. Let us know. We definitely want to get some more love out there as we are about to make our biggest splash. We spent a lot of the first quarter printing, planning, getting stuff together for Kickstarter campaigns, but here it is. quarter two of 2016, and Project Nerd Publishing is going to be right there on our tables at all the shows, starting really big here with Free Comic Book Day at Hall of Justice Comics in Parker, Colorado. Other than that, I felt it was a great episode we delivered. Picked on Erin a little bit, but that's okay. She survived. She's a fighter.
I mean, I'm pretty sure I deserved it for some of the things that I said, so it's cool.
Probably. But
listen to our Erin getting all mature and stuff, accepting responsibility for her actions.
Oh, shut up. Now you're going to take it all back. Gee.
So with that, I will close this out for another episode of Nerdcast. Significant number coming up. We're going to hit 120. That's a pretty big deal there. So 120 next week. But as of now, this is the end of episode 119. Same nerd time, same nerd channel. We'll catch you next week.